It's 10 o'clock. You're tuned to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Coming right up, it's Health Watch. Lisa Loving is guest hosting today. Her guest is Beau Rinaldi, local vegan restaurateur, cookbook author, and herbalist. At 10:30, stay tuned for Earth Watch today with Eduardo de Landeros Chiere. He's hosting. The topic is corporate accountability and international and Coca-Cola and India. And at 11 o'clock on Democracy Now!, some really important things will be talked about. I don't know what they are, but stay tuned at 11 for that. And this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Cotton Cloud Futons, a locally owned business featuring futons and mattresses, frames, covers, furnishings, and accessories which can be made with organic and recycled materials. Cotton Cloud is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Information there is 503-335-0758 or cottoncloudfutons.com. The purpose of this program is not to prescribe a treatment to individuals. Listeners should consult their healthcare practitioner before attempting any treatment.
Give away books, and I give away, I do whatever, for students, nurses.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay, so get comfortable. Now get the microphone close to your mouth, right? You have to talk right into it.
I've done radio for
And so
years.
There we are. We are live on the air. It's 10:03, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Lisa Loving, and my guest is Beau Rinaldi. He's a chef. He's a businessman. He's a cookbook author. He's a vegan. Beau, welcome.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Great to be here.
And Beau brought a bunch of food. He brought a bunch of vegan food.
Always.
So we're going to talk a little bit about health and food and Beau's business enterprises. So, Beau, tell us about the cookbook.
Sure.
And the restaurant.
I'd love to. The restaurant is the Blossoming Lotus. It actually started on the island of Kauai, and people can check it out at blossominglotus.com. It started as a sustainability project. About 3 years ago, we now support 14 farms on the island of Kauai, and it is a destination vegan restaurant. We decided about 2 years ago to do a cookbook. A lot of people come by our restaurant. They're on vacation. They have a transcendental experience on Kauai, and we basically felt like sharing our recipes, a lot of our secret recipes, a lot of our award-winning recipes in our cookbook. And so we self-published our own book. We used 14, 15 different artists and philosophers from around the world. It's a sacred work. It has a lot of sacred site photography, a lot of ancient wisdom. It is our opinion that the great equalizer in humanity is food, and then if we take the best of all cultures, we take the best of all the nonviolent activity that has occurred throughout all of humanity, that we possibly can not only heal ourselves, work it through the actual neighborhood you live in, all the way through the rest of the world. So we take an optimistic approach to this with our book.
So you have a restaurant in Portland and in Hawaii.
Right. The restaurant in Portland is a cafe located inside Yoga and the Pearl. It's at 925 Northwest Davis. It is a healing center. We call it an urban oasis. You can literally come in and do a yoga class. There's healers there. They do acupuncture and naturopathy, different alternative modalities. And we have a full-service vegan cafe with the most wonderful team. We have Stuart Richter, who's the main chef there, is a very accomplished vegan chef. It is a full-service cafe whereby you can come in and out very quickly for lunch, $10. Our entrees are $7, our sandwiches are $6, and it's all house-made. We can go on and on about it, but we don't serve wheat. We don't fry our foods. It is purely a 100% vegan cafe offering about 40% live. We make our own milks, which are made typically out of almonds and filberts. We make all of our own chai. It's a 1,000-year-old recipe just on the chai alone. People come in. We have elixirs. We have what we think is probably the best and finest array of vegan cuisine you can find anywhere on earth. It comes from our restaurant in Kauai and what my chefs and I put together.
Okay, I'm Lisa Loving, and this is Health Watch, and I'm just going to try to get over the fact that Bo's talking about Hawaii, and I've never been there, and it's kind of gray outside. I'm getting over that. So, Bo, let's talk about vegan food a little bit. So I've recently become a vegan. I really like it a lot. It sort of showed me all the dysfunctional things I do around food in my life, which
right.
I don't think I ever really appreciated, how many dysfunctional things I do around food, like
right.
how much junk food I eat, for example, and why is it that I end up eating junk food? Because I'm sort of not taking care of myself in other ways, and I'm
right.
rushing around. I'm fascinated by how food is the touchstone for health, mental health, physical health, all kinds of health, and even as we're talking about in the context of your restaurant, your cookbook, we're talking about even the health of the planet.
Absolutely.
So now, last week on Health Watch, I believe I heard Dr. David Naiman interview this fascinating expert on Chinese medicine who talked a lot about diet.
Right.
And different aspects of how diet affects even your mind.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
And hot foods and warm foods. It was really interesting. But I think that a lot of people think that a vegan diet is unhealthy. And I say that based on the feedback I've gotten from people since they found out that I've stopped eating meat. And you know what? I'll be honest. I don't do dairy. But I cheat with butter.
Mm.
I'm a butter cheater.
Right, right.
Okay.
Sorry, butter cheater.
I know. I'm trying to get past that.
We're going to talk about food real quickly, but I'll just tell you, for myself, I was 12 years old. It was 1960. I had severe asthma and allergies. I'm 57 years old now. My doctor at the time was a Seventh-day Adventist. He gave me the book Back to Eden. I followed the book Back to Eden. Within 3 months, I healed myself of my allergies and my asthma. I got rid of the milk, I got rid of the dairy, and I got rid of the meat. Meat was not a big deal. It just seemed cruel to kill. I didn't want to eat my chihuahua at the time. It just seemed a little weird.
I'm surprised at how easy it's been to give up meat, too.
Yeah,
dairy, a bacon obsession.
They spend about $1 billion a year in the meat industry, only about $300 million a year in the dairy industry. And that is because, basically, they want you to believe, and the establishment is, it is purely a political take right now. He who controls the food controls the people.
SIBO thing, the thing that gets me is how many people have said to me, oh, my God, you're a vegan. You're going to get sick. And in my head, I'm thinking, no, everybody else is sick.
So you can call,
of all that stuff.
Call their attention to the China study. It's the work that's out right now that
What's
is
that?
The most important work ever issued regarding nutrition. The China study was put out in January. Dr. Colin Campbell, he is the professor emeritus of nutrition at Cornell University. It is a study that was done in China, as you would imagine, by the emperor there, starting in the 70s, isolating why cancer occurs. And they have proven unequivocally cancer is a direct result of diet. It's the fat in your diet, is the unprocessed proteins in your diet. By eliminating all of your milk products, everything, and we're talking not down to 10%, we're talking to 0%. It has been proven unequivocally we can eradicate bourgeois diseases. What are the bourgeois diseases? They're the Western society diseases. They're the cancers. They're the coronaries. They're the diabetes. Obesity factors in there everywhere. You can eradicate obesity. Do you follow the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM?
I've heard of it, but I don't.
Dr. Neil Barnard was just put out in the September Journal of American Medicine that we can rid ourselves of obesity by adopting a vegan diet. Now, when we say vegan, we have to quantify that food does not come from a supermarket. Food comes from the land. Okay, it does not come from the fast food outfit, which is the big competition, because you can eat for 99 cents, get everything that you like, and basically
Taco Bell.
Basically, the healthcare system that we have, which basically says don't get sick, that's your healthcare system. I will guarantee you, I've been doing this 45 years, and it's an art. It's obviously a pleasure. It's the nexus of healing and feasting, really, that we find ourselves in this critical moment in time where we literally are supporting our farmers better by adopting this diet. 50% of your food in the market, it goes to packaging. Okay, it's petrol-based transportation, packaging, additives, all the way down the line from the point that they put the seed into the ground until it comes to your plate. If you embrace a natural lifestyle, you will be richer, you will be healthier, and you will absolutely not have any kinds of cares in your heart or your mind in terms of how you're living your life.
We are live in Studio 2. We're speaking with Bo Rinaldi. He's with Vegan World Fusion Cuisine. It's his new cookbook. And he has a wonderful restaurant here. Actually, I've never been to your restaurant, so I shouldn't give, you know, qualifying. But he's got a restaurant in the Pearl District. We're talking about vegan food and also raw food. So, Bo, what are the – everybody will say, you have to have some kind of animal product or else there's going to be something lacking in your diet. Can you talk to us a little bit about – what a vegan diet may or may not lack,
right,
and how people get that.
Right. First of all, we're just going to quantify vegetarians come in about every flavor. They're now called flexitarians, so some people eat meat and they're
freegans. There's freegans out there.
Sure. And if a fish looks good, it's a wild crafted fish, you know, or somebody just shot a moose, whatever. That's a vegetarian. They're flexitarians, and we don't really. I just believe people do what they want to do, okay? But if you're going for optimum health, trying to get off the grid a little bit in terms of the established systems that are supposedly helping us. Buy your food at the co-op, cook your food at home with your kids, and take a look at the three things they supposedly think that we're lacking as vegans. Very simply, the term veganism, vegan was coined 51 years ago by a guy still alive, 91 years old, Donald Watson in England. He just said, this is bull. What we're going to do is we're just going to take the dairy out of being a vegetarian, and he coined the term vegan. It is 100% plant-based, and it's not freaky. I approach it from the point of view that it's beautiful, it's healing, and it's wonderful. I have leather seats in my car. I hope I don't get stoned when I go outside. I threw away all my leather goods, whatever, but that was not my motivation. My motivation is health and healing. And when I took a look at the nutritional aspects of that from food and how I fuel my body, I found that the myths that are put out there are actually myths of the old humanity, that you don't get enough protein, you don't get enough B12, and you don't get enough calcium. Those are the three things.
You mean like
World War II agribiz, pharma biz, whatever you want to call it types of things. So for B12, the easy one, we like nutritional yeast, we like kale, we like bee pollen. Yes, I do some bee pollen once in a while. It's nonviolent, it's a superfood. We have to have our superfoods. That's what we're about. Really, and you can also buy a supplement. You can buy a sublingual B12, 100 milligrams, there'll be no problems. Calcium. Milk does not provide calcium to your body. The three level glasses of milk
the magical engineering pixie vigorously and agreeing with you.
Exactly. It's proven unequivocally that milk is causing ADD in our kids. Check it out. The mercury content is so high in the milk, they're actually thinking that milk is causing ADD in kids. Not a problem. We have drugs for that, too, right? So take a look at getting your kids off of milk. Calcium does not come from milk. There's no metabolizing that can occur. The vitamin D is more metabolized in the milk than the calcium. Calcium comes from things like carrots, sesame seeds, this kind of thing.
Deep green vegetables.
Anything
like
in the
kale,
dark,
chard,
anything in the dark
like
greens. Well, kale actually is another one of the superfoods. You'll see every day there'll be a new superfood. I think all foods are superfoods when you live like this.
My beloved is a big kale head. He's always pushing kale on.
Got to have kale. The kale farmers are loving it. Kale's out there quite a bit right now. You'll see there's actually B12 in kale. We steam our kale with our buckwheat and yams. It makes a traditional African dish. It's amazing how inexpensive it is to eat this way, how healthfully it is to eat this way, and how balanced you can actually be eating this way. So when you talk about bones and your kids, talk about exercise, because for bone growth, it's exercise. Only way to build your bone mass is through, not the only way, the best way, is through actual resistance training. So we have to go to the protein question real quickly, okay? It is stated that we need 30% protein. That comes from your friends at, it doesn't come from the American Dietary Association. They rebuffed it, actually. But it comes from your friends at the FDA, believe it or not. 30% protein is only found in a meat product. So that means 30% of the calories are dedicated towards protein in a food source. Well, meat has the 30% plus. You can find 30% and over type protein products, you know, when you do your nutritional yeast, when you reduce things so that you have high protein, you know, type items. We tend to think that that is not so good for the body. Again, in the China study, it's the protein to complex carbohydrate ratio that actually is proven to keep the body in optimum immune condition. And we want to keep our immune systems built up, and we want to talk about that as much as possible, because with the amount of recombinant viruses and bacteria that we have working against us, our only hope, really, as I see it, is to have super healthy, strong immune systems and bodies. And to that end, for protein, what we like is tempeh from Indonesia, tofu, of course, from Taiwan. We love a good organic tofu. We like a nice miso, make some nice soups with our miso, a little bit of shoyu, that type of thing. Those are the only soy products that we like. We do not use
soy. Always get organic.
You have to get organic. You have to buy organic. You don't want to go GMO with anything. If it's organic, it's not going to be GMO just by definition. More on that sometime if you like. So the soy products, the only four soy products, when we talk about protein, those are the only four that we like, the cultured foods, okay? The reason I say this is do not feed your babies soy formulas. Do not. The isoflavone concentration is so high, you will make soy allergies out of them. So the doctors go, oh, they're allergic to soy. They need more meat. I swear this is it's a phenomenon that's happening in modern medicine right now. Feed the babies nut milks. Feed the baby mashed up, you know, peas and carrots and vegetables. And when it comes right down to it, baby will tell you what they like, obviously. But we want to stay away from soy proteins, soy protein powders, this kind of thing. For protein powders, we go with rice proteins. For protein in general, we like quinoa as a grain, 22 to 24%.
Just got some of that.
Yeah, quinoa you have to have. We certainly like the fact that you can come to our restaurant, you know, and get what we call a monk bowl for like $7. And it's grains, greens, and proteins. And we'll give you the kale. We give you the grains of the day that we have. And then we put in proteins, which could be a dal, a mung dal, possibly a cured, you know, marinated kind of tofu dish that we have. But we're world fusion, so we try to bring together all the best aspects of the different cultures with science behind it.
Okay, and if you just tuned in, I'm Lisa Loving. I'm just sitting in on Health Watch this morning. Our guest is Beau Rinaldi. He's a restaurateur. He's a cookbook author. And as you can tell, he's a militant vegan. And I want to be able to have the opportunity to talk a little bit about live foods before we are over, but there is a caller who would like to ask a question. Would you like to answer a question?
I would love it.
Caller, darling, you're on the air. Caller.
Surely do believe you, huckster and a quack, thank you, Nat.
Right on. That's okay. That sounds like the ducks. It was just this happy guy who sounded like this guy that calls up Talks Radio and goes, ducks, bees, go! Anyway, this is not Talk Radio. This is KBOO. This is Health Watch. I'm Lisa. We're talking with Bo. And Bo, why raw food?
We like to talk about it as live food. And
live food, okay.
It's fine. Live food, the premise is that anything that is cooked over 118 degrees will destroy the vital enzymes in our food. It goes for any kind of food. Enzymes will not survive after around 116, 117 degrees. There's a lot of reasons for live food. One is we're the only animals on this planet that do a lot of things, including cook our food. The reason we are cooking our food so much is the fact that we are eating so much meat. You have to cook the meats out so that you actually do not have the lethal bacteria and viruses that exist in these meats. And still, that does not help many times. Cooking food, I think, it's convenient. It's wonderful. We all cook our food. I lived on a live food diet for about 3 years recently. It was fantastic. It is the kind of thing that I think should be integrated into one's life. Occasionally try a live meal. I mean, you could do a muesli.
But you have to define it. Describe one.
A live food is anything.
That's a little bit scary.
It's not scary at all.
Okay.
It's anything that is, it's really anything that has not been cooked. And that's over 116 degrees. So the things that we use, 116 to 118 degrees, we just like to keep the food in as natural state as possible, combining it so that, I mean, we're heathens. We feast. We eat like kings and queens, really. And the idea is that live food has a number of different food preparation techniques that make it a lot more interesting than you can imagine. We dehydrate our food to make these unbelievable flaxseed crackers, which are filled with essential fatty acids. They're like the Triscuit of the future, we feel. We culture our foods. We make our milks out of seeds and nuts and grains, and we actually culture these. We can make yogurts. We have live sour cream. We have live cream cheese. Our chefs at the Blossoming Lotus downtown actually have a live cheese that you can dip these crackers in. We make
a vegan cheese?
It's all vegan. Everything
wow.
we do is vegan. It's
okay.
Better living through chemistry.
So, Bo, I want you to put your headphones on because now we have another caller. And those have, okay, wait, no, not like that. Okay, good. And I'm Lisa. We're live in Studio 2 with Bo Rinaldi. He's a restaurateur. His place is The Blossoming Lotus. He just published an award-winning cookbook, Vegan World Fusion Cuisine. Caller, do you have a question?
Yes, probably several.
Okay.
But they're all quick and quick comments also. I first encountered a vegan type diet in Kauai also. That was in the 70s, early 70s. And between then and now, I've been every kind of vegetarian you could name, you know, pescatarian, what have you. And I realized the truth, you know, and the established veracity of a vegan diet. but I still find it difficult to adhere to. I would like for you to address that aspect of veganism. Also, I'm at the point now of changing my location in time and space once again, especially for, solely for, becoming vegan without ever changing again. I'd like to be able to say, well, I've been vegan for 40 years, like I'm saying, I've been vegetarian for 40 years. And I'm wondering if you use in your restaurant the Vitamix machine, if it's effective, or even if you don't, do you think it would be effective? In other words, I'm thinking, what can I take with me when I leave here that's going to make it easy for me to be able to survive as a vegan in a non-vegan society?
Good. Let me, I'll give you a few tips. And we can...
Also, I'd like to know, I'd like to change my work environment and work in a place like the one you have in the Pearl.
Wow.
Do you think that that's possible for a person to
Well, we have we're pretty staffed up right now, but that's something we can always talk about. And we also like to give classes there for free. And also, I'd like to give you a copy of the book. So before we get off the air, if someone could get this gentleman's address, I'll mail you a copy of the book, complimentary.
Call back if no one does get that from you, caller. But let's let Bo answer a couple questions. You know, Bo, his first question was, you know, he feels like it was just hard for him to stay stay a total vegan, you know.
Right. Let me give you a couple of tips, okay? The first thing is you have to have grounded food. If you're just eating fruits and vegetables that are not complex carbohydrates, you're going to feel very airy. You're not going to feel very grounded. So find the food that grounds you the most. We happen to like soba noodles, which are made from buckwheat. If you take a soba, you dice in some celery, some vegetables, you put it on a bed of spinach or whatever you wish, your kale, you will have a grounded dish. Maybe you want buckwheat groats or millet. Find something, a grain, that you can combine with your greens to add not just to the protein, but the actual grounding aspect of what it takes to be a vegan. You have to find those foods that you like. Stay away from the highly hybridized foods. We use no wheat in our restaurant. It's all spelt-based. Well, I believe everyone is allergic to milk, one degree or another, dairy products. I also believe virtually everyone is allergic to what we call modern-day wheat. It's a badly hybridized, highly glutenized form of wheat. You'll find yourself as a vegetarian not doing very well if you don't have foods that are natural foods, that are whole foods, that are, palatable for you. I happen to know the dishes I like, and I go with those dishes. We make a tempeh tuna. If you come down to the restaurant, that is a very grounding tempeh tuna dish. It's page 70 of the book. I post these recipes free on our website. It's veganfusion.com. Try some of those recipes. The Vitamix is absolutely essential. We don't even, when we drive or do whatever, we carry our Vitamix. A Vitamix is nothing more, it's a high-powered blender, but you can do blended soups, creams, sauces. As chefs, we are always doing things with our Vitamix, so you can make your own nut butters. It's an industrial-strength blender, really.
Okay, and so caller who did call and ask that question, we lost you on the line, so we want you to call back. You could call back the front desk and leave your name and phone number. We'd love you, caller, by the way. So the front desk, 503-231-8032. I'm Lisa. This is Health Watch. We are live in Studio 2 with Bo Rinaldi. His restaurant is The Blossoming Lotus in the Pearl District. The cookbook, which just won an award, Vegan World Fusion Cuisine. By the way, if you go to the website, you got to click on the lotus petals. You got to click on the lotus petals if you go to the website. And we're already starting to run out of time. So there's a couple people who called with questions, and one was, what's a fruitarian? And do you have any comment on fruitarian?
I was a fruitarian in 1970. I lived in Ecuador with a famous fruitarian. His name was Johnny Love Wisdom. A fruitarian is someone that eats nothing but fruit. All we ate was fruit. What you have to have if you're going to go this route is green coconuts. If you do not have live, young, you have to be where the food is. So you have to be in Australia, maybe San Diego, you'll find some fruitarians. It's not a recommended approach. It's the next step to breatharianism. We cover in our book, you have to be pretty illuminated. I swear to goodness, when I hung out with Johnny Love Wisdom, I could see, he was so clear, I could see through his skin. He was like the clearest, brightest, beaming person I've ever seen in my life. But it is a very studied approach. Do not go about it half-baked, you know.
Dude, but the phones are ringing off the hook. I have a feeling that this is a subject that we should discuss a lot more. So let's talk, let's back up a little and say the book, Vegan World Fusion Cuisine, where can people get the book?
Well, luckily, it's pretty much found everywhere. They can go to our website, Vegan Fusion, go to Amazon if they want to go
that. VeganFusion.org?
VeganFusion.com.
Com, okay.
VeganFusion.com. People can go to Powell's. People can go to Whole Foods. People can go just about anywhere and find our book.
And the restaurant is located?
925 Northwest Davis, right inside Yoga and the Pearl next to Lawrence Gallery.
Okay. And, you know, we only have a few minutes left. I've only been a vegan for 3 or 4 weeks now, and one of the things that amazes me is how vegans are really oppressed. I just have to keep talking about that.
The vicious virgin vegan Valentine.
I don't know what that is, but I've just noticed
that's the
that,
government.
There you go. Even other vegetarians think that vegans are crazy.
Right.
But I figured out what it is, Bo. It's ice cream. People judge you on the basis of whether or not you eat ice cream.
Well, we have ice cream. We don't have it down here in Portland yet, but if you go to Kauai, we make ice cream that is legendary, literally. And it's
what's in it?
A lot of macadamia nuts. We do macadamia nut butter, lots of fruits. You know, we do a lilikoi, pineapple one people are liking right now. We do a lot of different things differently. We don't think it's weird. We actually think it's the only way to survive as a planet. Sustainability, less packaging, the main thing, total health. You can get into this and be totally healthy and bright and shiny, just like you, Lisa.
Oh, thanks a lot, because I've been mainlining this awesome chai. But I'm Lisa. We just have a couple minutes left with Bo Rinaldi, restaurant owner, The Blossoming Lotus. You know, again, 3 minutes. This is Health Watch, but one of the things that strikes me about veganism, just eating like a vegan, is, as you already mentioned, it's not really just a diet choice. It's something that changes your life, because you can't stop by Taco Bell.
It's the bloodless revolution.
Well, there you go. That's an interesting way of looking at it. But so now we've only got like 2 minutes, 3 minutes left. The book is called Vegan World Fusion Cuisine, Healing Recipes and Timeless Wisdom from Our Hearts to Yours. The restaurant is called The Blossoming Lotus. If you just had 2 minutes to tell our listeners the most important thing they could do for their health right now, what would it be?
If you want to bring peace to your life, find your family a lot happier and healthier. Find yourself a lot more content and certainly more empowered. The path to self-empowerment is understanding how to claim your health. Food is healing. Food is your medicine. We say it. We talk about it. Very few people really know what it means. To me, food being our medicine means that we eat the plants, we eat the fruits, the berries, the nuts, the seeds, the pulses, the grains, everything that has been given to us. It's fun. It's given to us via the Bible. It's given to us even via the Quran. Certainly kosher is based on it. Mainly, the way I look at it is we're all healing our relationships with food. And the main way we can do this is by learning why food is healing and how this can help us. And don't believe that food comes from a supermarket.
Right on. Bo Rinaldi, the book is called Vegan World Fusion Cuisine, Healing Recipes and Timeless Wisdom from Our Hearts to Yours. The restaurant is called The Blossoming Lotus, blossominglotus.com.
You got it.
Foreword to the book is by Dr. Jane Goodall. So in defense of animals, members out there that are thinking about the animals connection, we got to bring you on the air once too. And Bo, thanks again.
We love the IDA. We love everyone working for the goodness of all life. Thank you too, Lisa. Hope
Thank
to see you.
You again. And stay tuned.